The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. We're with you on this Monday, 29th of October, 2018. Clocks ticking down, coming up on the countdown to the new year. Oh, what else is going on? Isn't there a little election or something going on? Midterm? We got bombs. We got Donald Trump. We got Jews, old Jews, by the way, being killed in synagogues. Angela Merkel is leaving her seat over in Chancellor of Germany, is getting out early. I'm still hearing background music. Thank you. It's on Steve's end?
Yeah, it was me. I turned it off.
Sorry. Jeez.
I couldn't hear it either. Now I can hear it. It's off. It's my little Wi-Fi radio in the background. All right. Sorry.
Oh, boy. At any rate, inquiring minds want to know. People are here today, and they want to know what state, what condition our condition is in. Geez. What else can go wrong? Oh, November 1st. Supposed to have a financial crash November 1st. But we'll wait till that happens, even though we've been predicting that. And went into the bank today. My Chase that deplatformed me for no admittable reason whatsoever. And I suspected it was not the local branch, even though I'd go in and school the new employees about fractionalizers or banking and all this other stuff. And the manager of the bank says, yeah, I know. And I said, well, I'm a talk show host. You know, this is what I do. I tell people. And I sat there and made sure that she understood the takedown with the banks and, you know, the commercial banks out there being involved in the fraud of selling properties 20, 30 times over. And I said, the really neat trick is they threw all that debt on our backs. And we didn't get our cut of the booty, of the robbery, did we? She just kind of smiled. And I said, you know, I've got no problem with you. You're a fairly nice person. And I says, and generally speaking, if you were just working for a bank and we're all working with honest currency, you'd never hear a peep out of me. I said, but she did assure me that she said nothing came from this bank because I would have had to approve it. And that's something. Supposedly, she's digging around to find out the real reason why I've been deplatformed. But I'm not going to hold my breath. But just as I suspected, this phone call came from on high. Imagine that, Steve. Mm. By the way, speaking of which, before we get started here, you didn't do a program on the network yesterday. Your dad is in ill health. Yeah. Just been checked into a hospice at the age of 94. Your mom can't handle that anymore, and you're going to jet out of here on Wednesday, I believe.
Probably Thursday or Friday. I'm not sure yet. Okay. I'm in the holding pattern right now. She said hold. Okay. So I am gonna go.
All right. Definitely. Yeah. Well, just in case you're not around for Sunday, we'll run a rerun. But you indicated mm-hmm. that you wanted to do a show.
Yeah. I'll do one from Indiana, from all the right. Midwest. Yeah.
All right. With all the intentional chaos, where the hell do you want to start with this one?
Well, I You wanted me to read that tearjerker, right?
The Texas Monthly story, yes.
You know, it did bring tears to my eyes. You know why it did? It was so flipping long.
Oh, for God's sakes.
John, that was the longest story I've ever read on the internet, I think. It was a good story.
Well, okay. Aside from your criticism that a well-written piece that wasn't loaded up with innuendo and accusation and agenda, I thought you would enjoy that story because when was the last time at any length you read a story that wasn't colored?
It's true. It's true. No, it's on the website. It's a good guy with a gun takes out a bad guy with a gun. It's a good story, and that shooting happened in Texas.
Yes.
And
we're coming up on the anniversary of it, November. And guess what day it is? It's Election Day.
Oh, my gosh.
November 7th.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And this is more of a background on who this person was that pulled out his AR-15. And folks, a lot of the detail was not released to the public. You really need to read this, but I'm going to caution you, grab your box of Kleenex. And, are you afraid to show your sensitive side? You gotta belly up and man up or what here?
Not at all. You know what? I do know that in 24 years working in medicine, if you work in ICU, John, you have to have walls. You actually have to have walls or you're not going to survive. ER is the same way. You build up walls, and I could probably name on one hand five people that I've got close enough to on the emotional side of a passing or just a family member. But most of the time, I'm just right to the point. I got to do my job. I got to do this. And I don't involve myself emotionally with family, because if you do this too often, you're going to lose your edge. You're going to end up saying, I'm burned out. I've got to leave this job. And so, like I said, on one hand, in 24 years, five people, I can tell you families I got close enough to. Even after their passing, I even attended their funerals. I was invited and went to their funerals. But that's it. One hand. 24 years. One hand. I'm a big guy. I got a big heart. My wife says I have cardiomegaly. In medical terms, that's actually a bad thing, but she means it in a good way, that I have a big, big heart. And then I am kind of a softy once in a while. I can be a soft guy, and I can be a hard ass, too.
Well, I think I got the hard ass side of you today, because that story that was in Texas Monthly, I mean, it made me tear. I mean, it honest to God did, because here was a guy that basically minded his own business. He was a plumber, worked at San Antonio Hospital, which was a kind of a tie-in to what you do. And, here was a guy that was woken up by his daughter, and she heard shots being fired, and she woke him up out of bed, and he walked out in the living room in his bare feet, and he could surmise where the shooting was coming from, and he walked outside with his AR-15, and he yelled, "Hey," he wasn't that far from the front of the church, and that's when the shooting stopped inside the church after 26 people were murdered, got the gunner's attention, and he walked out and started firing upon this guy. And then he got somebody else, just another stranger in a car, and said, "Look, this guy just killed a bunch of people in a church. We got to go get him." And they did, and actually was responsible for bringing the guy down.
Mm-hmm. Did we ever find a motive on that, John? Was there ever a motive, letter or something?
No, there was no letters. The guy was shot twice, probably lethal. If the police, they wanted to send in a drone. This is our sorry guys, our boys in blue out there with the badges that are so afraid of everything. They got to watch out for their safety. They waited an hour until a cop showed up with a drone so they could go look inside the guy's truck. Now, chances are, the guy committed suicide. You can't commit suicide if you're fatally shot. So this guy was inside the truck bleeding for quite a while and then decided to end his own life.
Right.
And the really the strange part of the story was that he had the opportunity to talk to the guy's wife and said that, "I don't know what happened to him. All of a sudden he switched evil to evil." And she said, "I do not know." But they had a conversation. Imagine talking to the guy's wife that killed 26 people. I mean, it's just This stuff has to stop, but I'm going to caution everybody, it's not going to stop by taking on more gun legislation. This is going to stop. You've heard this before. The only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. By the way, I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to tell you something that might surprise you, or maybe it won't. Okay. Active shooter drill planned for Thursday night in Squirrel Hill, Darlington Road to close. Now, Squirrel Hill, that's right. That's where the synagogue is. Pittsburgh and Allegheny County Police, along with the FBI, will hold an active shooter drill Thursday night in Squirrel Hill. The drill will take place between 8 p.m. to midnight at the Jewish Community Center, 5738 Forbes Ave. Darlington Road will be closed from St. Edmunds Way to Murray Avenue. Residents may notice a large police presence in the area. The exercise is closed to the public and the media. The exercise is to ensure the area is prepared and ready to respond in an active shooter situation. The exercise will include apprehending a shooter, evacuations, and treating victims at the scene. At least 50 volunteers from Squirrel Hill Community and the Jewish Community Center staff will serve as role players for the exercise. Emily Balzer is the Tribune Review staff writer on this story. There's only one problem with this story. This was written on January 24th of this year. So here is a synagogue that went through all the gyrations and protecting themselves, and there was an active shooter that walked into that church. And Steve, did you get the ages of these people that were killed?
The oldest one I saw was 97 and said, had many more good years to go. I don't know how you say that with 97, but
yeah,
I thought that was kind of, well, that's,
well, I personally believe that they were sacrificed. They were sacrificial.
Yeah.
And that we're all going to sing. Now, have you been, folks, I know a lot of you don't watch the mainstream media, but we have to. And yesterday I was watching Fox News, the neocon network, and there was Alan Dershowitz just up there just gestating wildly and proclaiming that this anti-Semitism. But he changed tact. He said all this anti-Zionism has got to be stopped. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, mm-hmm. Took note, started paying attention to communities like Little Moscow on the Colorado down here. They refer to it as Austin, capital of Texas. But it's been taken over by the communists years ago. But they were holding vigils. And, well, they held one vigil. Well, they had to have two because the facility that they had, so many people showed up, they decided to have a second one. And, of course, police chiefs all over the country, everybody's chiming in about how horrible this mass shooting, the biggest mass shooting in America, folks. Wait a minute. How many people were shot in Vegas?
Oh, geez. Was
yeah.
54? 54?
Yeah.
Something like
So how is this the large? They must have meant it's the largest mass shooting of Jews in the country, because I remember the stories that they now don't refer to. You know, if it happens in Vegas, it stays in Vegas. Well, so did all the dead bodies, but all of a sudden the validity and the use of the story has just disappeared from the radar scope, and I'm wondering why.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's timing. It's timing, John. You know, Israel's bombing the heck out of Gaza right now, and so this story has taken the mainstream, and they're going to run with this for a couple more days. And while we're focused on the mainstream media in this here story, they're going to be bombing the hell out of for Gaza for the next couple of days. You watch.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Sure of it.
Well, the numbers have been up with the caravan. It's the invading army heading toward the border. Trump is sending 5,000 troops down to the border, and unfortunately, this could all be stopped. See, here's the problem. The problem is asylum.
Right.
If they utter that word, and they've all been coached into it, mm-hmm. If you use the term asylum, guess what? You'll come into the United States, we'll give you a court date in a year or two, we'll notify you of a court date that you never show up for. Right. And nobody knows, has any idea where you're at. Right. Fox News got cut off today from doing interviews with the caravan because they finally figured out that, wait a minute, they interviewed one guy. I saw this clip. And Steve?
I did too.
About the guy that was found guilty of charge with murder?
Oh, no. The guy yeah. The guy in Fox who actually said it's an invasion.
See,
it's
this
not a caravan.
Yeah. See, this is these are all just good people just seeking asylum inside the United States because but everybody that was asked going, huh, I'm going north for the money. I'm going for the job so I can get there and send money home. Oh, there's no bad guys in this caravan. And Fox News, I guess to their credit, interviewed a guy that admitted right in front of the camera that he's wanted for murder. And I'm going, wow, that just proved Trump's case that, you know, these people need to be vetted if anybody's coming in. And this is the problem. But here we've got this escape clause for the illegals. If you utter the words asylum and you have one little toe or pinky inside this country, well, ICE will take you in, then they'll give you a court date. Now, I don't know how they're going to stop, and the numbers are growing. And what I'm hearing now, that it's up to 14,000. We'd heard stories that, some of them got the message and they're turning back and going home. No, it's even bigger now. So imagine this. You've got an invasion of people. They're going to jump across your border, and they all come over at once. How are you going to stop them? How are you going to stop the majority of them from stepping foot on U.S. soil? Well, unless you start actively, and I'm talking shooting, first give warning shots. If they don't heed that, drop a few of them. Well, imagine what's going to happen after that. So exactly how are 5,000 unarmed individuals on our border going to stop an invasion of 14,000 plus people coming in?
This is a make or break situation, John. You agree, right?
Yeah.
Make or break. He either shows some force that he's presidential, that he can secure our borders, or we can say that if these people flood in, it's basically a green light for the rest of the world to come here if they want to. They'll say asylum. They'll rush the gates. And we can forget about a 2020 with President Trump. We can forget 2020.
You and I were talking earlier, and I said, you know, we got to take the high road here. And we really got to sit down and explain this to people is exactly what's going on. And I think they're losing, even though they were late on the scene with deplatforming everybody from Twitter and Facebook and God knows where else. By the way, Gab, we'll get into that, which the shooter had been on gab.com. Mm-hmm. And Gab has come out and said, you know what? We cooperated with law enforcement. We've been moved off of servers. They've been shut down. We're going to open up new servers. And the reason why we're here is a platform for exchange of ideas. We're not afraid of people speaking their mind. In a country that promotes liberty and freedom, well, we used to. Now we just teach you how to be conformist in a police state and to take every bit of crap that the government gives you or the lying media tells you. They're coming back online. But they were pretty stern, and they went after the Facebook. They went after Silicon Valley and all their political correctness. This is a purge, folks. This is what happens when people are afraid of the truth. Now, you and I talked a little bit about this. Andrea, as I said, Merkel, Angela mm-hmm. Merkel, you know, the communist who used to be in the Russian army or mm-hmm. East German communist army. Yeah, that becomes chancellor of Germany. And then all of a sudden she gets a wild hair and gets real compassionate back in 2015, opens up the borders to any Tom, Dick, and Harry. Well, it'd be Abdul, Allah, and God knows what else to Germany. This is caught up. The heat is on this woman. She doesn't want to take it anymore. She's already done her damage. Now, she's supposed to be in there until 2021. She's getting her hat, and she's gone here real fast.
Yep.
Now, there's the story is bigger on this because this is part and parcel. And Mike, do me a favor, get the Jewish woman that told me that we the Jews are behind this whole Balkanization process of Europe. Admission on tape of the culpability of this stuff. Over there, they're dealing with Abdullah and gosh knows what from the Middle East. Here, we're dealing with the illegals, Hondurans or whatever. But the project here is the multiculturalism or the breakup, the Balkanization of America, and they're in on it.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
This is no social crisis. This is you having fun. Social crisis. Getting burned by the sun. This is true. Social crisis. This is no social crisis. Just another tricky day for you.
Just another tricky day for all of us. Now, Steve, this, and I told you today on the phone, I said, you know, over the years, I've checked myself. People make assumptions, and they'll go down a rabbit hole, and that's their rabbit hole, and nobody else can come in without permission. And I have dove down the most dangerous, hazardous rabbit hole of all time, and that's going against the people that want to total control. And I even told you, I had to check myself. I questioned myself from time to time, going, Is this right, or am I just being led down a primrose path? And I have questioned my motivations, my reasoning, and had a little talk with myself, and myself told me that, no, you're on the right track, kid. Trust your gut. So this thing about being anti-Semitic or whatever the case may be, this is not a true statement. I'm not an anti-Semitic. I'm against Jews who have been using this for on their own purposes.
Right.
I read the list last week of the countries they've been thrown out of. Ladies and gentlemen, you always hear about the book burnings. Well, you don't want book burning, do you? That's what the Nazis did. No, what the Nazi party did, what Adolf Hitler did prior to World War II. Yeah, there was book burnings in Germany, but they were burning all the communist stuff that the communist Jews had brought into Germany. That's what the book burnings were about. But that's, you know, they'll just take a little piece of history, give you no background or no detail, and see, here's this further proof of, you know, you're some kind of Nazi sympathizer or you're a Nazi skinhead yourself. Not true. What is not being conducted, if nobody has noticed, is an honest discussion. Bring them up as guests in news segments, whatever the case may be, but you've never seen an honest debate about this question about Zionism and the effect and who's been behind it and what they've been doing and why are all these Zionists just absolutely dripping liberal / communist / socialist? The questions are never answered, and they never will be. And if you doubt the veracity of anything that they tell you whatsoever, you're automatically labeled. Right. Or if you insist on questioning our narrative of history, you can be jailed. And I give you, arguing about the numbers of the Jews killed in the death camps in Germany, if you question that, we don't care about the validity of your argument. You've made that question known. You're asking that question. Therefore, you go to jail. These are people that have things to hide.
Right.
Okay? Right. So coming from that basis, now you could see why Angela Merkel, she ain't going to last another couple months. She's going to be out of there by the end of this year.
Yeah, I agree.
She's going to be gone. And the reason being is people have been catching on to the multiculturalism. They've caught on to this whole European Union thing. They have caught on, and they are pissed. So come in a little bit late, but, you know, we've got to deplatform you. We've got to stop this hate speech. By the way, the guy in Pittsburgh is going to be charged with a hate crime, not terrorism, but a hate crime. Here's the difference, folks. A hate crime is an individual acting out. Terrorism, you work with a group of people.
Right.
Okay, so it's a hate crime. Well, no, actually, it's just flat-out murder. But see, we have all these political machinization. I think I said that right. Somebody corrected me the other day. I forgot how to say it. I say machinization, but that's not the pronunciation that's absolutely correct. My apologies. But, you know, here's what we have is there's every law on the book already existing in this country against one person doing a bad thing against another person. Now they have politicized it. Now they're using it as a cover that this agenda is going to go through and your masters are going to be in control and you're going to shut up and you're going to sit down. You're not going to say anything about it. Now they started deplatforming people. Folks, this isn't a new process. This happened through Washington, D.C. think tanks. With the people that kind of want to remain anonymous, they're hiding behind a curtain, but directing all the same, that all the stuff has to be shut down. The free flow of information, it's so hateful, it's so this, it's so that, it's got to be done away with. They're a little bit late. They're a little bit late putting that cork in the bottle because the truth has been out there, and that's the problem that they have been having. Let me go to this phone call. I want to leave people hold. Mark in Georgia, go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know if I've mentioned to you before, but I state this as a hypothesis because I can't really prove it, but the first use of the word anti-Semitic was in 1880, according to just a little bit of web research. And that's about the time that the Zionist movement, not in terms of publicizing it and promoting it to the masses,
right,
but that's about the time that the idea of Zionism was promoted among certain groups to go out and prepare to basically brainwash the masses.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm of the view that the term anti-Semitic is a loaded term. Most Jews are not Semitic.
Ask Helen Thomas that. She made it quite clear before her death. She said, I don't understand all this anti-Semitism stuff because the Jews aren't Semite.
And she is. She was.
Yeah.
And the thing is that when I say Arabs, that includes Palestinians, including Palestinian Christians, like my friend Camille that I lost contact with him years ago. And he told me straight up, as a Palestinian Christian, what you're hearing about Muslims, it sounds like we're coming up on a break.
We are. Hang on a second, Mark. That's my job That's my job to say we're coming up to break. Please hang on, Mark. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Back. Mark, you still there?
Am I? I don't know. Let me pause. Yeah, there you go. Somebody has this video of Hillary. I'm going to mute that so I don't interrupt your...
Well, thank you.
If Hillary's having a meltdown, yeah, I want to see it, but it's nothing they won't keep. But the thing is, people think, oh, well, Trump's this great hero, and I'm like, or that Hillary's the problem, and I'm like, look, if you think any political figure is either the solution or the problem, you're looking at the wrong end of the puppet string.
It's two sides of the same coin.
Yep.
And the thing is that one thing I like to point out is that 1 Timothy 6, verse 20, the Greek word that says opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, the Greek word opposing ideas is antithesis. Learned man that you are, and you know that's part of the Hegelian trio, thesis, antithesis, merging into a synthesis. So the left-right thing, Chuck Baldwin, spot on. If you think the left is all the problem, with reverent respect for our colleague Michael Rivero, voting Republican, Karen Handel, some years ago at a GOP barbecue, I went there to support Ron Paul, and she gave a speech, we need to get more Republicans in office, blah, blah, blah. Any questions? And I was very emphatic. I didn't mean to be verbose about those touchscreen voting machines. And she basically answered for 5 minutes with 100% dismissal and, oh, not a problem. And later I found out that she actively campaigned against the touchscreen voting machines. So I'm like, excuse me, I want to know, what is the GOP going to do to clean its act up in terms of all these carpet-bagging swindlers who are addressing political theatrics of left versus right and are not doing anything to say how the GOP has made the situation worse. Unjust accusations like Darnold T. Rump, as I disaffectionately call him, accusing Assad of gassing his own people. And I saw a video not too long ago where they did a side-by-side comparison of here's Trump and here's Obama. Notice that although there's a few little word phraseology differences, they're both saying the exact same thing. So I'm like, here you go. I mean, it's like a change of the puppets does not amount to a change of the puppet masters, right?
The one thing that Donald Trump has done successfully, and I would consider this to be it's noteworthy, is decrying the fake news.
But he polarizes it, and as though one side is not fake news and the other side is. I'll say all political theatrics is fake news, including making unjust accusations, right?
Are you asking me to agree with you or no?
I think you would agree with me that his accusing Assad was completely unjustified, and he did it twice with absolute impunity, right?
There again, you're asking for me to agree with you.
Are you not in agreement that what he said against Assad was not legitimate?
Well, what I would agree with you is that he's dropped a few more bombs than Barack Obama did, but Mr. Netanyahu wasn't a big fan of supposedly Barry Sartorial, and that there were problems there. And now we've got somebody that's, well, didn't he just move the capital of Israel? Didn't he just put a look? This guy is under. Okay, Mark. This guy.
I'm going ahead. I'm listening.
Well, good.
I'm sorry.
Okay, you done?
Okay.
All right. What Donald Trump has done is he's recognized who his enemies are, and he's staying well clear of that. What he's dealing with right now are the friends of the enemy, and that's the news media, the way this whole thing has been constructed. I don't think that a president of the United States at any given turn, including these fake little bombs that were sent, including the chattering media that's dramatizing this and blaming Pittsburgh on Trump because Trump is some kind of anti-Semitic, whereas his actions speak differently. But again, I would put this in the category of appeasement, just appeasing them for the time being. I hope that I am right and you are not right. Because we'll see. You know, you can pick the fly stuff out of the sugar bowl on just about anybody, but the guy has done more good than he has done harm, and he is not done being president of the United States. What has happened here is Donald Trump was not supposed to be the elite, which comprises the Republicans and Democrats in this country, saw Donald Trump as a threat to their little political scam, and he's done a pretty good job of pointing this out, and I think he knows this much, that as president of the United States, he can't wave a magic wand. He can't do things by executive order or turning this country into a proclaimed dictatorship, throwing the Constitution out and saying, I am now king, you will do as I say. What I think is actually going on here is he's having help identifying the real enemies of the state, our country, and he's going to be doing this in stages. Now, I'm either wrong, or I'm partially right, or I'm all wet. A lot of people out there, Mark, like yourself, will just condemn Trump and say, okay, he's not what we... everybody that gets into the White House are either millionaires or billionaires, so this guy was supposedly some kind of failure. Well, he wasn't. And it was actually the political climate in this country that allowed Donald Trump to become president by way of vote. Okay, they want to do away with the Electoral College in this new democracy. If we have 51% of the people voting for who's running for president, well, that's it. Well, this whole thing has been gerrymandered. But the Electoral College, which I looked at before, I was going, well, do we really need this? If we had honest voting, well, let the people decide. But then you're going into the conclaves that have been controlled by Democrats, the major cities with the major populations in this country. You want them voting for the president, just an outright Democratic or democracy vote? No. If you take a look at what's going on here in its totality, Mark, I'm not there with the rope to lynch Trump just yet.
Oh no, I trust you can agree that we need to be fair to everyone. So I always maintain, you know, the one thing that signals that somebody's biased one way or the other is when they have a one-sided ledger. You know, one side, you know, they say, okay, our side has a positive side of the ledger, and the negative side of the ledger belongs to them. Yeah. You know, it's like, and I trust one thing that I've heard about various organizations, I won't mention them by name, but okay. They say nothing but evil about Islam, and they always portray Israel as a victim. And I'm like, so I want to be fair to Trump, and if he does something right, it's just like one of the former hosts, I was recently saying, you know, you're supporting Trump, and it's like, actually, my support for Trump is conditional. Just like JFK said in one of those that speech, he said, I need your support and your opposition, and both are needed, because it's through that adversarial process that we, you know, come to a proper position. And you've got to have both support and opposition, and both sides need to be given a fair hearing. That's where it is written, the first one to present his case seems right. That's where I...
Okay,
I'm not
Mark, I have
you.
To go. I've got a call waiting from London online.
Okay, I'll listen in.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Later, then.
Frank in London. Hello.
Yeah. Hi. I just want to talk about, just briefly, on the midterm, the upcoming midterm elections.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I am not... pessimistic at all about the Republicans taking the House and the Senate. I can't see the Democrats getting through. I just can't see it. I'm listening to the moves of the people. There is no way these crazy nutters are gonna get in anywhere impeaching Trump. I mean, I'm not that fanatic about Trump.
Let's set this discussion up in the proper format here. In this country, you know, forget the left or forget the right. On one side of the aisle, you have the neoliberalists, and on the other side, you got the neocons.
I think to my viewpoint, it looks like it's the alligators versus the crocodiles. That's the way I see it. But in terms of what I'm seeing, it in terms of the optics, the behavior of the left, it's just beyond me. I mean, I'm not crazy about the right either, but I'm just saying what I think is going to happen. Especially, you got this caravan. They call it caravan. To me, it looks like a horde.
Yeah. It's an invasion.
It's an invasion. And I'm glad you called in because, you know, this whole argument, left, right in this country, independent, whatever the case may be, you know, we do in this country have a little thing. It's called the rule book. And it's called the Constitution. And we are a republic and not a democracy. And the simple solution to this is just whip out that old document. Let's all read it together. Let's see if we all understand English and we understand what that Constitution is about. Over there in Jolly Old, where you're at right now, what did they try to do last week? Somebody tried to destroy the Magna Carta, which was the basis of the constitutional government in this country.
Yeah. Well, we can see where we headed when people do now. I mean, you can see what the EU wants to do. The EU wants to dictate to every European state how they should run their country, right? And this is what they want to do to the United States. And I just can't believe it that I've looked at CNN and these people are beyond, they are beyond belief. And then on the other hand, we have Trump. It seems like Israel can't do any wrong. If you criticize Israel government, you are an anti-Semitic. It's just nothing seems to make sense. There doesn't seem to be any will to have proper political discourse or even an intellectual discourse from the left or the right.
But we did send over Alex Jones last year, over 2 years ago, I think it is now, and he got on a big BBC program and made himself and the rest of America look like absolute idiots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw that interview or not. Frank, look, I'm glad I got you here because you're calling from London. You guys want to get the hell out of the European Union. But I want to play you a clip by Barbara Lerner-Specter from the Paideia Institute. What is it? Paideia Institute on exactly what has happened in Europe. Hold on a second. Go ahead. Run that clip, Mike.
I think there's a resurgence of anti-Semitism because at this point in time, Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural. And I think we're going to be part of the throes of that transformation, which must take place. Europe is not going to be the monolithic societies that they once were in the last century. Jews are going to be at the center of that. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make. They are now going into a multicultural mode, and Jews will be resented because of our leading role. But without that leading role and without that transformation, Europe will not survive.
Europe won't survive for as long as Europe has been around, Frank. For so many years, it's the EU, it's our multiculturalism, it's busting up culture and country. What do you think about that?
Well, look, my parents of Afro-Caribbean heritage, right? They came here in the late 50s.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in South London in 1961. I went back to the Caribbean, the island of Trinidad and Tobago for a while, and then I came back here to complete college and etc. Then I decided to stay. I would say between 1978 when I came back to now, I can only speak for London, it's a completely different place. I live in a building where if you don't say good morning to people, they wouldn't say morning to you because there's so many different cultures. I mean, me being black, but we have slightly different cultures to black people from East Africa and so forth, from Somalia and so forth, right? And there's been so many problems when you squash so many people into what I can see the hatred, the dislike, and the distrust, and because you have Somalians, Bengalians, and all these sort of people. The younger ones are slightly different. They're a bit more, I would say, a bit more open-minded with each other. But on the whole, I don't think it's working.
No, I don't think it is. And it's interesting from an individual, self-professed black, by the way, to hear a black Londoner call into the program, it's kind of taken me by surprise a little bit. But the history of South Africa and how that was done in and who was involved in that and in the revolution down there, and that was a communist revolution, and you see what's going on now in South Africa. It's been going on for a number of years. You, admittedly, in London, all these people being crammed and jammed, it isn't necessarily the numbers. It's the different cultures that they come from and what it represents. And rather than them coming into England, as in this country, rather than coming in and assimilating to the society and the culture for which it stands, one nation under who knows what anymore, that's the problem. And this has been done intentionally. To screw my country up, to screw Europe up. And here we are shouting from the rooftops that we know who's been behind us. It's been self-admitted. And nobody outside of this network really wants to talk about it.
Nobody wants to talk about it because people are being shut down with a thing called political correctness.
Not that right.
Right? So everybody's being shut up now. And this is the problem, you know. And I can see this thing is exploding. I mean, I went to a meeting, a housing meeting, and I may be black, but I could understand how indigenous people felt, I mean, especially in the borough which I live in, that the you have social housing now are not going to, let's say, the indigenous people of Camden, and they're very angry because other people's coming in. They're not working, they're not contributing everything, they're just sponging off this the system, right? The social security system,
yeah.
Not really contributing, just leeching, and you get people who's worked all their life and they're not getting the social housing.
No. And Frank, these government programs, as in the United States, whether it be whatever form of welfare and perpetuity, dependence on the government, the systems that they set up for retirement, Social Security, it doesn't matter. These are programs that have been set up that the government, whether they intentionally lose control or they're just so damned inept, that it becomes this all-consuming debt hole that they got to keep shoveling money at that they really don't have. So what do? They go to the bankers to borrow that money to supply here's the interest running. Look, you know, my perspective from this side of the pond, when I see somebody that, you know, if I listen, I couldn't tell that you were black. If I saw you on a video and audio feed, I go, oh, here's a guy, here's a Londoner, here's somebody from England. I wouldn't look at you and go, oh, well, he's black. You know, this is the thing that's maddening about it. There's an intentional derision that's being driven in between people. So that wasn't working good enough. So let's just load this all up with people that don't like you or respect your culture. They're here to make demands of you. They want benefit that they haven't paid into. And quite frankly, I'm sick of it.
Frank, I got a question for you. Living in London there, do you face any repercussions for calling out bad behavior from Israel? Or if you call it out, are you called an anti-Semite for calling out the bad behavior of a government?
Look, you've got to be careful. It depends on where you are and what company you're in, and if you're in a workplace, you have to be very, very careful because you're conditioned. I mean, I've went to lectures and, you know, at my workplace, not to mention I've just worked for a government organization, so to speak, and I've listened to some of these lectures. They give us lectures on terrorists, on security and safety and all that sort of thing, but it has a lot of political twist to it, like, you know, they're telling you there's a rise of anti-Semitism, but I don't see it on the street. You know, at the same time, you can't speak about it at your workplace, because if you say, well, there's no anti-Semitism, you may be misconstrued. You would be deemed as being anti-Semitic.
Because you're saying there isn't.
Exactly. And trust me, I live right in what you would call mostly inner city sort of ghetto areas. Right. And nobody, you don't hear anybody looking at someone and saying, oh, that's a Semite. Let's get him.
Frank, let me ask you this since you brought it up. Are the ones from the Middle East over there, are they the lawless ones that's been presented through the alternative media here in this country?
I would say so.
Okay.
You know? Right. I would say so. But the thing is, again, what I think is people, you hear people mention anti-Semite, right? But you ask them to define it, and they have problems. They really have problems explaining what it is, because most people don't know what a Semite is.
Yep.
A lot of people are not educated that way. I mean, they may see Orthodox, the Orthodox Jews, right?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody interferes with them. And these guys, you speak to them, they talk to you, they have normal conversation with you. I don't hear these guys complaining about that.
Yeah. I don't either. Well, Frank, by the way, how long have you been listening to the network?
Maybe about a year or something. I stumbled on it. Year or two, I think. I just stumbled on it, and I like what I was hearing. To me, it was quite honest, and it gave me a broader education of what, what's really happening on the alternative, because I've given up listening to the BBC and
you mean the British Broadcasting Company is not the big benefactor? That
yeah, well, we have a more unflattering name for them, but you know,
but they, boy, you know, you got to admit though, they do produce some hellacious and very good nature documentaries.
Oh yes,
hey,
oh yes,
Frank,
oh, yes.
I've got to run. I appreciate you calling. Okay. In. Do not be a stranger.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Paul in Jersey, in New Jersey. Hello, Paul.
Hello, John.
Hi.
John, you know, when you were talking about anti-Semitism and then you bring up that quote from Barbara Spector, mm-hmm. We have to realize she is a walking anti-Semitism-making machine on her own.
Well, you mean by the statement, the truth that she's telling?
And also her, like, I looked into her biography mm-hmm. on Wikipedia, and I find even that very disturbing, the very chutzpah of that woman, because, you know, she was born in Wisconsin, in the United States, back in 1942. She studies at Columbia University for philosophy, then moves to Israel and marries a rabbi. Then they live there for some decades, and then ultimately in 1999, she immigrates to Sweden, of all places, to join her husband, because he was a rabbi of a synagogue. And the whole time there, she's working to make Sweden more diverse
mm-hmm.
and promote other minorities in Sweden. And I just find the audacity of that behavior to be so sickening. And I do believe some Jews, I mean, she even admits that them promoting multiculturalism in Europe will lead to anti-Semitism.
But it's got to be done.
And it's for the good of us, because she knows better.
That's exactly right. This is my agenda. We're going to take some heat for it. I'm not apologizing for doing it, but, you know, we're just warning you that because you have been involved in this god-awful practice, that you're going to take some heat. But you know what? It had to be done.
And I tell you, this is what makes me really very upset with Mr. Bowers, is, you know, I saw some of the pictures of those, the people shot there, and my heart went out for them in the sense they just like look like schlubs and nebbishes. You know what I mean? Decent local Jews, not in the limelight.
Not deserving to be shot, anything else.
Exactly. And so why didn't he just go buy a ticket to Sweden and go encounter Barb or do us a favor and, you know, meet Barbara?
Or if he was that anti-Semitic, why didn't he hop a plane, fly over to Israel, pay some good money, probably get somebody over there that's in the IDF that would sell you all the machine guns and ammunition, and then you could go on a real shooting spree to go kill real Jews?
Or the ones who deserve it, and that's what I'm saying about him is not even being a good Nazi by Nazi doctrine.
Yeah, well, you know? I don't... A Nazi?
Well, he is the self-proclaimed Nazi.
Well, I'm sure that he is. Yeah, all right, I got Paul, I've got to run. I'm at top of the hour break here. Thank you for your call. And he didn't allow you to hang up on him first. He hung up on me. Okie dokie. Second hour coming up. You finding any of this interesting? I'm going to give you something to really ponder after the top of the hour.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.